I'm Catherine Land for Infra-Dora Udoji. There's an international donor conference underway in Brussels this morning for the country of Somalia. It's led by both the UN and the European Union, and they hope to raise some $260 million to improve security in the East African country. We're going to go now to the BBC's Mike Woolridge. He is in Brussels, and we'll get the latest on this conference. Mike, what exactly do they hope to fix, if you will, at this conference?
They want to fix Somalia, in short, not just what happens on land in Somalia, of course, which has been a pretty dreadful catalogue of disaster and violence and conflict over the last 19 years, but also they want to fix the piracy out at sea at the moment, which, of course, has grabbed most of the world's attention. And one of the ways they believe this can be done is by building up Somalia's own security institutions. There are hardly any to speak of at the moment, but some of this money that's being requested here is to pay for that. And the rest of it is to keep going and indeed to reinforce the African Union peacekeepers who are already in the Somali capital, Mogadishu. So that's the ambitions of this meeting here today.
Well, you mentioned the peacekeepers. Wasn't there some talk at one point of sending EU peacekeepers? Or UN
and
peacekeepers, excuse
UN
me?
UN peacekeepers, that's right. Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General, certainly been under some pressure to agree to a fully-fledged UN force. He said again just yesterday in a report on this that he didn't believe the time was right now because, in his view, there's no peace to keep. So what he's proposing, and he said it again here in Brussels this morning, is a more incremental approach to this. Doesn't rule out a full UN force in the long term, but he believes that for the moment the big thing is to build up the African Union peacekeepers. There's 4,300 of them in Mogadishu at the moment. They want to get them to 5,100 and then eventually to 8,000. But again, crucially, to want to go along with Somalia's new president, moderate Islamist.
Who's at the conference?
Sheikh Ahmed, who's at the conference. He arrived a little late, but came in and gave his own view of all of this, saying that he too wants to build up a national army, a national security force, he's calling it, and also a 10,000-strong police force. And it's for that that they're looking for the funds. The whole question, of course, is whether that could conceivably happen on anything like the timescale that could address the piracy offshore and do very much to win the confidence of Somalis. One of the fears here is there's a big gap between the intentions, the maybe laudable ambitions of this conference and the reality on the ground.
All right. Mike Woolridge with our partner, the BBC. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go now to Bronwyn Brutant. She is an expert on Somalia, a longtime observer with the Council on Foreign Relations. She's going to join us from Washington. And Bronwyn, Mike was just mentioning that there is some mix of expectations here about what they want to do with this conference and what is actually achievable. And so my first question for you is, what can really happen here?
Yeah, I mean, that is the question. There's no doubt about it. You know, the donors, all of them, the United States, to the EU, to Britain, to Ethiopia, I think, are really unsure about what the next step in Somalia should be. There's a lot of optimism about this unity government because the president, Sheikh Ahmed, is someone who has managed to bring some form of governance to Somalia in the past. But at the same time, he's really an unknown quantity. He's had ties to people who are suspected to be terrorists. He's running a government with no capacity whatsoever. We're not really sure about, you know, his ability to mobilize Somalis at this point. So there's just a really big question mark. And this conference is really, I think, intended to send a signal to Somalia that the international community is watching and is waiting and is willing to invest if there's something to invest in.
Bronwyn, isn't there another way to phrase this, which is that the international community is finally paying attention now that pirates took a ship with an American flag?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you could say that we've been paying attention since 2006 when Somalia was taken over by what we suspected to be an extremist Islamic movement.
Well, paying attention.
And that, of course, led to the invasion by Ethiopia.
Right. I mean, paying attention, what does that mean? I mean, from the standpoint of a citizen in the Horn of Africa, it seems to me that, oh, wow, now the West is paying attention, now that some drug-addled teenagers are taking AK-47s to some container ships, responsible for Western cargo. I mean, it seems to me that this conference just reinforces a lot of cynicism and can't conceivably get anything done.
You know, that is absolutely the fear. You know, we're talking primarily in this conference about building up security forces. And when we say security forces, we're talking about, you know, the same kind of young guys with guns who are committing piracy activities on the Gulf. On Monday, for example, these TFG forces had a traffic accident in Mogadishu, like a fender bender, and they opened fire on a civilian minibus. They shot 8 people and killed 2 of them. And we're talking about strengthening this kind of a force, which is a really difficult proposition.
So what are some of the other danger points we have to look out for?
Well, the danger points are almost too many to mention. You have a population that basically has been radicalized by this invasion. You know, we really do give Somalis the impression that all we care about is terrorism and piracy when we ignore the country for 10 years and then really try to change their system of government by force. And then again, sort of turn the other way when the situation deteriorates until there's something like piracy that comes up and forces us to reinvest. Now, we have a national security imperative in Somalia, of course, and our capacity to constructively limit events is very limited. You know, there's not a lot that we can do in Somalia given the resources that we have to invest in that country. But we really do need to pay more attention about our public relations there. And we need to try hard to make the Somalis understand that we're not out to get them. And I'm not sure we're doing a good job of that right now.
Yeah, I remember when the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, after the latest piracy incident, came out with a rather thoughtful statement talking about how what we really need to do is make this a country that can run again to aid the economy. So it sounds like what we're talking about right now is beefing up the security. But what steps, if any, do we see about helping to shore up a country where people turn to piracy to make a living?
Yeah, I mean, this is the fundamental problem that I have with American policy in Somalia, which is that we've always looked at Somalia's problems as stemming from a lack of government. And our efforts in Somalia have always been directed at creating a government. And then we thought about economic assistance as a distant or second or third or fourth priority. Right now, we're looking at security because we want a force that can defeat Islamic extremists in the country and pirates. And we're supporting the government to that end. But what we really need to do is be thinking about stability that can lead to economic growth. Well, and that's how we're going to solve these problems.
But you know, even though the numbers, they're talking about $260 million that's supposed to improve security. I mean, that's a paltry sum compared with what the governments of the world are talking about, either in terms of aid or restoring the economic health of the world. When I was in Somalia in the early 90s, what people in Somalia were saying was that the chaos and the famine that was going on in Somalia at that time was destroying the tribal networks that had been around and had been responsible for local stability for hundreds of years, and that once that was gone, there was no getting it back with any sort of security force, that basically something was going to have to be regrown from the grassroots, and no amount of money is going to be able to do that. Bronwyn?
But, you know, to be honest with you, I think that that's actually happened. In that 10-year period from the time that, you know, we had our disaster with Black Hawk Down to 2006 when the Islamic Courts Union rose up, there was a period of regrowth in Somalia. And if you look at the local politics, traditional leaders and religious leaders and local leaders are playing a very important role. And all of our attention is on the national government, which is a disaster. But if you look a little deeper, I think there's a lot of governance in Somalia and a lot of people we can work with very effectively.
And what are the mechanisms for getting aid to those people and those institutions?
Well, that's the thing. We have to create those mechanisms. But I think it's important to support a national government to a certain extent, but we do also need to be giving direct aid to clan leaders and to district leaders. And we can do that via local and international NGOs. And there are programs in place that the UN is running, that USAID is running, that already do exactly that.
All right.
So we're not really starting from scratch here.
All right. And Bronwyn, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you for joining us. That's Bronwyn Brutan. She is an expert on Somalia with the Council on Foreign Relations. She joined us from Washington.
An indication of the real challenges there in Somalia.
Yeah.
And, of course, the cynicism, because now piracy puts Somalia in the news again. They think they're going to solve it with $260 million. The challenge is pretty significant. We're talking about credit card horror shows. When you open up your credit card bill, what do you find?
I got a letter from Bank of America boosting my rate from 5% to 12%, but adding insult to injury was the fine print that said unless I specifically rejected the new rate by calling a number, it would automatically go up. And if I did reject it, if I ever use that card again, they would charge 12% on all new purchases as well as my outstanding balance under the old rate.
What's Senator Chris Dodd going to do about that from Connecticut? He joins us later on in the program to talk about credit card stories. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send yours.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.